Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, by the way, our theme music that you just heard is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. They are so great.
So smooth and wonderful.
We love them. And we'll talk more about what they're going to be doing with Esther at the coming up soon, the Jazz Festival.
Jazz Festival.
Wow, that's going to be great. Talked to Renee yesterday. She's trying to make sure. She said, maybe I'll have you emcee that thing. So
I know. We were talking about that.
So I'll have to dust off the old tuxedo. Hey, our underwriters for Art of the Era of Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our wonderful landlord, Walt Breitinger of Paragon Investments. Hey, if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic technical building here right along Route 130, go Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. And we have a link on our website. Hey, thank you for your generous support. We always like to give a shout-out and a thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager.
The best, Greg.
Art in the Air is supported also by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through the South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, or appear on the show, please email us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. Hey, our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at WVLP.org. So if you have trouble hearing us on 103.1 FM, you can always hear us nice and clear that way. Hey, Art on the Air is also rebroadcast both there and on stream on Mondays at 5 p.m. And you can hear our entire show archive at breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. Plus, our detailed arts events calendar is also there. By the way, you can hear us on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, on Sundays at 7 p.m. And IU Northwest has us on WIUN Red Hawk Radio right there in the university, so you can do that. Hey, you know, how do we stay on the air? Well, it's because of you listeners and our underwriters. And we're always looking for your support to keep us on the air. So Esther and I especially would love if you want to support Art on the Air specifically. We'll give you a shout-out every week and also the streams and everything like that. You can find out more about how to support the station at WVLP.org/support. And we have various underwriter levels to keep us on the air. You know, we don't want you to just be a listener. We want you to become a supporter and underwriter of the show in whatever amount you're able to do so. And I say this every week, but I'll say it again. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, because you'll feel so good about supporting Art in the Air and WVLP. Well, we're going to start off with the arts calendar. I'm going to hit Porter County right off the top, and we continue. So Porter County Brower Museum, Valpo University, and we have the link there. They continue with the Betty LaDuke Social Justice Revisited, Remembering Reliving. Then we also have Sue Kwok, the Cosmic Light Series, and the Mark Fletcher. And on Wednesday, November 6th, so that's just coming up right around the corner, there'll be a special art gallery talk at 7 p.m. there, so you can see that and actually hear Mark talk about that along with the curator for his exhibit. Village Pines Gallery at Valparaiso, they continue with the Valpo University Junior Art Major exhibit, curated by the one and only Richard Brower, and that will continue through November 14th. Chesterton Art Center, well, lots of things happening there. In fact, I'm leaving after the show here today to help on this next thing. The Ilian Artists will be doing their new member exhibit called The Gift of Art, and they'll be opening November 3rd, and they'll have a reopening reception. That'll be 2 to 4. I'll be running through November 29th, and you can go there. And what's different about this exhibit, this is kind of a cash and carry. You go in, if you buy a piece of art, like, unlike most exhibits, you can actually walk out with it right away then. So you'll get to keep it for a gift.
Wow.
So it's a new way of doing that. So they also have some other special little gift items there, smaller pieces of art, gift cards, things like that. You can do that. So anyway, there you can do that. They also have a wide range of classes going on. They have Mark Vandervin's Critique Night. That's always the first Wednesday of every month. You can see that. That's Wednesday at 7:30. And you just go to their website. They have a whole bunch of new classes, and I won't go through all of them now. Art Barn, well, they're doing a paint party for adults and kids, and you can find out information on their webpage. Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques in Chester. Chesterton. Well, they're continuing with a beginning wire rap class. No, that's not rap music. That's actually rapping wire. That's November 15th, Friday at 6 p.m. You find out information. And they're continuing with one of their famous classes they love to do, is the acrylic pour class with Carrie Sokolsky. Find out information on their web links on our page. Depot Museum and Art Gallery, located right there along US 12 and Beverly Shores. They now have a new opening reception, or they had the opening reception, but they continue with Into the Wild, photography's Sue Galambos, a great exhibit. I saw that, went out and visited it. That's running through mid-November for Sue's
Excellent.
Exhibit. It's a beautiful exhibit. Ellen Firm Gallery, they have an art reception for the Arts Friends Studio, and it's an annual exhibit. They'll be starting on Friday, November 1st, and the Ellen Firm Gallery is also on US 12, just around the corner from the Depot Gallery, and they come, seniors come, see all the friends, refreshments. They always have fresh baked treats. Memorial Opera House, well, they present a special Veterans Day lunchtime special called a cabaret, November 13th, and you know many of you veterans have come out. They're encouraging information as far as we want to honor the service people that have been in part of that, and they will also accept photographs at their website and to honor those people. It'll be a whole cabaret luncheon, details on their web. Roots Organic Cafe continues with Ken Christensen's exhibit through the middle of November. Dig the Dunes, they're still accepting photos for their, they're about ready to close out for the annual 2020 calendar, you can get that. So photographers or people, artists, you can submit things. They're also looking for paid sponsors for each month. So Chicago Street Theater, they're doing Toxic Avenger, and that's going to be running there through beginning of November, so the first week, so you have 1 weekend left to see that. Disposable Theater comes to Portage on November 9th, and they'll be doing Clancy's Public House, 21 and older, sorry folks, but if you're younger than that, and they have other things going on, so you can see that at the link. So that's what we got going on in Porter County, except for our guest today. What do you have going on in LaPorte County?
Well, you know, it's First Friday, so there are bunches of new openings for numerous exhibits. So in LaPorte, the Thaddeus C. Gallery is located in downtown LaPorte, and a fabulous gallery. And Laura, I'm going to call you and find out what you're doing. So Lubesnik Center for the Arts, Living Architecture, October 30th through January 4th in all three galleries. Perceived Realities, that's October 29th through December 2nd in the NIPSCO Art Education Studios. It celebrates the artwork of area artist Dorothy Graydon. As We See It, runs through January 4th in the NIPSCO Art Education Studios, and that's the exhibit by the Social and Learning Institute and Paladin. Rising Phoenix Gallery, their November exhibiting artists are the 18 Artists Collective, and there's going to be work in acrylic, oil, watercolor, and sculptures. SFC Gallery, the November exhibiting artist is the fabulous Melissa Washburn.
So, former host of the show.
Former host of the show and good friend.
And current board member.
Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting the work of Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. Nest is exhibiting Robert Serko's exhibit, Me, Myself, and Eyes. It's recent paintings and drawings. Friday, November 1st, First Friday, but also the Drum Circle. We've moved the Drum Circle to First Friday, so we hope you come and see the exhibit and maybe sit in on the Drum Circle. We would love that. Sunday, November 3rd is the Inner Voice Storytelling Workshop from 10 until 4 p.m. Roger is providing 5 no-cost scholarships, plus you can bring a friend for free. So if you pay for the workshop, which is $35, you can bring a friend for free. That's this Sunday. Tuesday, November 12th is Tai Chi. Saturday, November 16th is usually the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent. We need to cancel it. We're very sad about that.
No.
But Captain Ambivalent has something that he needs to take care of. So we'll be back again in December. I think it's December 21st. And, Sunday, November 24th, the Writing Out Loud series has been postponed. So please, it's not going to be November 2nd. It's going to be November 24th at 2 p.m. And the last thing I want to talk about is the November 30th, first annual Foster Golden Uptown Jazz Nest Fest with Billy and Renee Foster. So it's a great lineup of jazz, And it's a free concert. We'll have free refreshments, free jazz. Billy will riff on jazz education a bit, too. So there'll be a bit of history as well.
But while we're talking about that, we would be happy to look for underwriters and supporters of that event. So if you were
inclined to do so. We are looking for sponsors. We're looking for volunteers to help us during the event. Yes, we would love.
And they could contact you at the NEST for contributions, right? So if you're interested in doing that, we'd like to get this going as an annual event. Billy Foster is a wonderful mainstay of Northwest Indiana and jazz, and it'd be just a wonderful event.
It is, and he's created a fabulous lineup of musicians. And then Saturday, I'm going to end it right there because I just want to move on.
Yes, because we'll talk about more about what's going on in LaPorte County with our guest. Hey, in Lake County, we have Studio 659. They're continuing with their exhibit called Bump in a Night, and that's going to be going through the end of November, or November 16th, actually. That was their Halloween-themed exhibit. South Shore Arts, well, they have the Bachman Gallery is now in transition. They just closed the annual salon show, but the Atrium Gallery, they have The Pathway to the Beach by Mary Ann Trisma, and that'll be going through November 24th at the Crown Point Branch, Something in the Air, Work from Artists in Residence, and they'll be going all the way through December 7th in Crown Point, Substation Number 9 in Hammond, Julio Guerrera's Gallery of Voice, and his exhibit will be running through the end of November. Toll Theater, Judy Crawford, For Your Consideration, is in their lobby. Cafe Fresco, which is their other place from South Shore, has Joey Lack Salinas' Photos of the Region. That'll be running through November 23rd. Miller Beach and Creative Arts District, they'll be continuing their show Anatomy of Artists, a group exhibit, a whole bunch of exhibits. They had their opening be running all the way through November, and we're sad to hear about Miller Beach, that the Miller Beach Bakery Cafe is closing.
Oh.
Yes, they just announced that. Because I guess of all the work and reconstruction they've done on the street, they just weren't business-wise, so I think they only have about a week more. So a mainstay of that area is closing. It's very, very sad. So anyway, so that's what's going on there in Miller Beach. South Lake Artist Cooperative, and otherwise known as SLAC, they'll be doing their exhibit at Texture at the Sip Coffee House and a Facebook Portrait of an Artist through mid-November at the Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith. Tony Paolipka's expedition is at a new place, Harbor Works, in East Chicago, Indiana, going through November. Dire Arts Visionaries, Dave, is called Space Energy Time. They're still tickling for, they've just had all their submissions in. They'll be opening at the Wild Rose Brewery after the show from the Slack people close in Griffith. Theater at the Center, well, they just closed Pajama Game, and they're getting ready for our next thing, which they had actually already, and we'll have him as our guest next week. Phil Potemka is going to be doing From the Farm Cooking Show, which he just did on November 8th, and so he'll be on our show November 8th, and he did a whole live demonstration to be talking about that, plus bring us up to date on what's going on at Theater at the Center. They have a whole bunch of things coming up for the holiday season, so that's kind of it. Again, you can find out all our information online at breck.com/AOTA, and click on the Arts Events calendar. We have all the hyperlinks, phone numbers, and everything you need to do that. So you're listening to Art in the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and we're going to move on to our guest now. We're happy to have Tim King, who's actually a professional singer, sold about 160 times through symphony orchestras throughout the country, a variety of both classical and pop venues. But his more important job recently is to become part of the, I guess you could say, executive director?
That's correct.
Executive director for the LaPorte County Symphony, which has been around for many, many years, and we welcome you to the show, Tim.
Thank you, Larry. Yes, sir, appreciate it.
Well, first of all, we just want to find a little bit about Tim King and everything. So tell us about your origins, where you grew up. And
well, as most people will probably tell by now, I'm not from around here. So
he's got that,
I want to be upfront about that.
That mid-South end.
A little bit. Yeah. And my accent's not nearly as bad as my siblings because they still live right there in Central Kentucky. In fact, I get accused of having a Northern accent when I go home to them. But anyway, I was born outside of Mount Sterling, Kentucky, which is about 30 miles east of Lexington, Kentucky. Raised on a farm, milked a cow, baled hay, chopped tobacco. And somehow music just kind of came into my life. It was, my family still doesn't understand how that happened because none of them are musically inclined. But it was something I wanted to pursue. And so I started taking piano lessons when I was a kid. And
What about school? Did it happen in school? Were you?
No, it just sort of, just within. What happened in my high school years is that I became an accompanist for the choir at the high school. And one time someone was doing a solo and the choir director stopped her because she wasn't singing it correctly. And I said, no, here's how you do it. And I started singing it. The choir director looked at me and said, wait a minute, why aren't you singing instead of playing? And so that's kind of how it all started. His name was John Stegner, and he's a really well-revered choir director in Kentucky. He went on to teach the University of Kentucky after that. So I really do credit John with getting me on the way. And went to Eastern Kentucky University and got my bachelor's in music education, and then on to the University of Louisville for my master's in music performance. I've taught school. I've been with the Louisville Orchestra. I've been with the Kentucky Center for the Arts. I was director of performing arts for the Jefferson County Public School System. That was my last job before I retired, which is very different from up here. When I first moved here in 2013, I found out there's all these school systems in LaPorte County. There's like six different school systems in LaPorte County. In Louisville, Jefferson County has one school system.
Right.
It's 105,000 students. So it's huge. It's huge. So some people would probably think it's too unwieldy, but so my last position was director of performing arts with the school system.
Okay, and what did that entail?
My specific job was to create an elementary performing arts school and a middle school performing arts school. Louisville has had what they call the Youth Performing Arts High School for 35 years, and they've actually turned out some really good talent from there, but they didn't have any sort of feeder program in there. So a lot of the instructors were concerned because they would get talented students, but they didn't know the basics, especially in the vocal area. You know, if you play in band and you play in orchestra, you learn how to read.
Right.
You have to learn how to read. But when you're a singer, lots of times, that doesn't happen. You listen to it, you learn it by rote. And so they'd have these talented people, but then they'd have to start from ground up with the theory and the history and all that to get them where they needed to be. So it was decided that magnet schools were needed, and it's really been an amazing situation. We started in 2009, and I retired in 2011 once I knew the schools were up and off the ground. And I've kept in touch with them over the years, and these are two schools that were about ready to close because the people didn't want to go to the school. Maybe they weren't in a part of town that people didn't want to be in. They didn't like the principal, didn't have a good teacher, whatever. But what's happened now is I was able to get, you know, I'm a big believer, having been in education all my life, that I don't care where their school is located. If you've got a good principal, that school is going to do just fine.
Exactly.
You can be in the poorest part of town. You can be in the richest part of town. But that principal is the person that makes the difference in that school.
100% agree.
So you all agree with me on that?
100%. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
Well, and I knew that job number one was to get the right principal in those schools, because the schools did not have a good reputation at all. And so it was a real process in the 2 years to be able to turn around.
Yeah, that's like such a minuscule amount of time to make that huge change.
It was. I look back on it now and I wonder how you did it in 2 years. But getting those two principals in the elementary and the middle school system made the difference. And then the teachers followed. Is what happened.
Right.
You know, the teachers followed those principals, and then the families followed. And even though some of them had some qualms about, well, it's in this certain part of town, they are doing so well now. They have a waiting list of hundreds of kids that can't get into school because the schools aren't large enough for them. So there was a lot of construction projects, theaters, redoing classrooms, dance rooms. It was a wonderful project for me to end my career down there. The one reason I liked it, I didn't have to supervise anybody. What a relief, you know? Not to have to supervise. I was sort of on my own. They said, here's your project. Make it or break it. You know, it's all on you. I mean, I had people that obviously worked on the project.
Sure.
It wasn't just me. But I didn't have to supervise anybody. Yeah. And that was freeing to me.
Yes, it is.
Freeing to me because, as you all know, you can spend half your workday in a supervisory role when you're trying to get work done yourself. That was a real gift to be able to do that. So it's been nice to keep up with them on Facebook and people write and call, and that they're doing really well. So after that, my husband and I, he was with the Kentucky Department of Education, was their chief legal counsel. He retired, I retired, and we decided that we were going to come north because Louisville's getting too hot in the summer. I love Louisville. Don't get me wrong. I love Louisville. It's a wonderful city, but it gets pretty warm in the summertime, so we decided to move north. And Lake Michigan was really the
So gorgeous here.
It is.
Right, was the goal, to get close to Lake Michigan. So we found a beautiful place really close to Heston Supper Club, close to the Michigan line. And I had fully planned on coming up here, retiring. Let me pick my blueberries. Leave me alone. I just want to have a quiet life. And then I met Lee and Marcia Morris of LaPorte. Lee, of course, is a former mayor of LaPorte and was the hospital CEO for over 20 years. And they have been stalwart supporters of the LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra. Well, they found out a little bit about my past career with having been with the Louisville Orchestra for many, many years prior to being with the Jefferson County Public School System. And they said, we could certainly use you. And so I started out as a volunteer with them, basically in a fundraising capacity. Came in as interim director for about 9 months or so back in 2015. But then when it was decided that we were going to have to do a music director search, they asked me to come back and see if I can't take that process through.
And tell us about your previous music director. You had Phil Bauman there for...
Phil Bauman was there for 23 years. We're going into our 47th year.
Wow.
And we started in 1972. And a typical music director position of an orchestra can be anywhere from 5 to 10 years. If you last 10 years, that's considered a pretty good time there, because people are either... You know, they have a small budget orchestra, they might go to a larger budget orchestra. And several people have more than one orchestra, because some orchestras like ours don't take a lot of time. It's 7 or 8 weeks of actual performance of an orchestra. And so a person can have a larger orchestra and do 16 or 17 weeks, and they can still do us for 7 or 8 weeks. But he resigned after 23 years, which is an incredibly long period of time for a music director to be at an orchestra. So what happened was, people weren't really sure of what to do. How do you do a music director search? He's been here so long, we can't remember how to do it.
Right.
And so we put together some people of musicians and board and community volunteers, and we've started the process and sent out a national search, and we whittled it down to... I have to tell you, I was pleasantly surprised at the quality of people that we received from all across the United States, New York to California. And it was hard to
it's kind of in general, though. Everybody just seems to be so much more talented. I mean, I teach elementary, and boy, those kindergartners just come out just with all this innate talent.
And it's like there's no fear factor.
Yeah.
That's the part that gets me with them. They're happy to perform.
And they've grown up knowing that they can do anything that they want to
do.
Right. So it's kind of freeing. You know?
That is freeing. So we had a really tough time trying to come down to these six people. I mean, we didn't get into a fight or anything over it, but we had some disagreements about who the six should be. And so it's almost like being on a jury, you know, where you have to go around and vote again and vote again and vote again. And so we finally did take it down to the six, and we started the process in the fall of 18. And we had three conductors that came in last year and performed with us. And we have three conductors this year. And our next conductor, Dr. Carolyn Watson, is the first one of this season that's coming in next Saturday.
Okay, very good. Now, a little more history about your orchestra is comprised of about 60-some musicians,
yes,
the way I remember. But is it still sort of a mix of semi-pro and pro, or how is that
it
work?
It is. It started out, as you can imagine, as a pure community volunteer orchestra, and has kept the doors open for 47 years, which I think is amazing, because if you look at communities the size of LaPorte and counties the size of population size, of course, LaPorte County is a huge county geographically, but population size, orchestras don't exist in that population size. So this is a real rare creature that we have. So when I first met Lee and Marcia, they said, oh, we have an orchestra. And the first thing that came to my mind was, oh no, a bad middle school band. You know, I'm going to hear.
Yes.
But then I heard this Hoosier Star event, which is a fundraiser the orchestra does. I was stunned. I truly was stunned at the quality of the orchestra. So that's when I became a fan and an active volunteer. So the ranks of the orchestra, it's very, very interesting. We still have one charter member left from the orchestra. She's been there 47 years. Wow. She's our principal French horn player, Jo Fran Bendix, and she still plays a terrific horn. And we have probably 15 people that have been there 20 years or more. But what I'm seeing this year is there's a lot of young faces in there, and that's fun.
Great.
Fun to see. So we have three doctors, we have a circuit court judge, we have music teachers, we have a an owner that owns a spa. I'm trying to go through all these. We have several professional musicians. We do recruit from South Bend.
Okay.
And so when the South Bend, we try to schedule our concerts that we don't overlap on South Bend's concerts, so then that those musicians can play for us. They come as far away as Whiting and Dyer, Culver, South Bend, LaPorte, Michigan City. I think there's like 27 zip codes in the musician base.
It's beautiful.
That there are, which is really, really nice, which, again, just stuns me because we do pay our musicians. So we're considered a semi-professional orchestra. That's the technical term. Community would be all volunteer. So semi-professional, but we're not professional because we're not full-time. It's not their full-time job. But it's a semi-professional orchestra, and they all do get paid. But they don't get paid much. I mean, really, they don't get paid much at all. I would say some of them probably spend more in gas money coming to and from rehearsal than they get paid for the rehearsal.
Wow.
So that tells me about the dedication that they have. And
and also the state of the arts just in general.
Right. And the love that they have for music.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I've become such a loyal person to them, because I'm so impressed with these musicians. They're good. It's not like, you know, they just came out of the fifth grade beginning band class. These folks can play.
Yeah.
And they don't mind a challenge. And that's what's happened this past year, is because they've had seven different people in front of them who have thrown every kind of piece of music you can imagine at them, and they have really risen to the occasion.
That's excellent. Yeah.
It's an exciting thing when you're an artist of any sort to have a challenge like that.
Right.
So,
And so none of your musicians are they no union involvement yet?
No, we're not. We're not a union. Orchestra.
Which is sort of good sometimes, because you can have really, like you just said, very talented.
It. Yeah, I had a union in Louisville, and
yeah, it's,
we had it, you know, there were, it's very limiting.
Yes.
It was very limiting. Of course, on the flip side, we also make sure as a board and staff that we never take advantage of the musicians, you know, because I certainly do, and I know a lot of our board members understand that these people are basically doing it because they love it.
Sure.
I mean, when I write the checks after every concert, I look at the amount and I go, really? Is that all we pay them? You
know? Yeah.
So I think it's in our best interest to make sure that they're happy. We want to keep them happy and challenged, and that's the way it's been this past year. They've just had a good time.
They've been really great at development. You know, they bring the students in from around the area to see the concerts, and that's the way it's going to perpetuate anyway.
That's always a really fun time. We have three education concerts in October, and we love putting those together. And the students
love going, I have
they
to tell
do.
You.
They do. I think they really do. And we've
do.
Had a conductor this past two times. He's not a candidate. His name's Rick DeYoung, and he's a former LaPorte teacher, believe it or not, who's formed this incredible career as a conductor and arranger. He does the arrangements for Walt Disney World. He's done arrangements for movies and TV shows. But he wanted to come back to LaPorte, and you should watch this man perform in front of a bunch of second through fifth graders. I had one of my musicians says the reason he does it so well is he's just a big kid himself. And I thought,
that's the
best way to do it. But he does such a great educational style. We've been very fortunate the past couple of years to have him conduct those concerts for us. We also have three student apprentices in the orchestra this year, which we haven't had in a long time. It was a program that they had for many years, and it was dropped for some reason. I don't know why. But Chuck Steck, who is our interim music director and our principal trumpeter, really believes in this and wanted to do this. So we had auditions, and we have a violinist, a clarinetist, and a flutist that are juniors and sophomores and seniors in high school.
That's excellent.
And they'll be playing with us for every concert, every rehearsal, every concert.
That's excellent. You're listening, by the way, to Tim King here on Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, Executive Director for the LaPorte County Symphony, and talking about their upcoming season, which is their 47th season?
47th.
Oh, my gosh.
The 50s right around the corner.
And you're right. LaPorte County, which is about a little over 100,000 people mm-hmm. to support an orchestra is really a tremendous, you know, task.
It is.
I mean,
it is.
And of course, you know, a lot of times people think about Indiana. I know when I was working at the Center for Performing Arts, and we were first getting up running, and I always tell this story real quick. And we were trying to get actors from Chicago,
uh-huh.
and it's like, well, where can I stay? And I said, we are closer to downtown Chicago than the old Candlelight was. You know? I said, and now it's established, but you know, back in the early 90s, trying to get people out, professional actors, like they thought Munster was Muncie. You know, it's like no. But
right.
You know, and also Northwest Indiana, depending on how you draw the boundaries, represents almost 700,000 people collectively
yes,
overall.
I can imagine.
That's like the size of Indianapolis. You know, we really deserve
right.
to have this level of arts and everything.
Right,
so,
I completely agree.
So we have your season coming up. So talk
yes.
a little bit about your regular season, and then you have other events going on. Your first one?
We have a small subscription series. It's only a 3-concert subscription series. And our first concert is coming up next Saturday evening, which is November the 9th. That concert will be at the Civic Auditorium at 7:30 p.m., and we will be welcoming Dr. Carolyn Watson. Carolyn is the Director of Orchestras at the University of Kansas, but she's a native Australian.
Oh, my gosh.
So at the beginning of the concert, they're going to have to listen to this Southern accent and her Australian accent. I think it's going to just freak people
it's
out,
very
probably.
International. But very international.
You should say LaPorte International
right.
Orchestra. There we go.
Right. And she put together a program of dance. And I say that dance as in broadly because it's everything from Brahms Hungarian dance to Marquez dance, Hispanic composer, to Shostakovich suite fantasy for orchestra, various types of dance like that. But because it's also 2 days before Veterans Day,
okay.
we decided, the timing was really perfect for this. We need to do something
sure.
and honor our veterans. So we have put several numbers on the program that honor the veterans. There's a wonderful piece. It's called the Armed Forces Salute. That it's an arrangement, and it takes the 5 branches of the military and actually plays their theme song. And
you have the veterans stand.
It's a chilling moment. It really. I've done this for years, you know, with the Louisville Orchestra, and now here. If 30 years, and every time it happens, I just get chills.
It's so emotional, just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a really beautiful Carmen Dragon is a very, very well-known arranger here in the United States, has put together a gorgeous arrangement of America the Beautiful, which, again, will be another chilling moment for people. So there's going to be a combination. There's going to be the patriotic feel to it, and then there's going to be the dance feel to it. And Carolyn is the one that put the program together along with Chuck. And we're excited about her being here. She comes on Monday, and she has a full week. She's going to meet subscribers, donors. We have her going to Valpo High School. She's going to Valpo High School. She's going to LaPorte High School, New Buffalo in Michigan, New Prairie High School. So she really wants to get in there and see what the high school programs are doing. And then, of course, with the various receptions and things that we have. And then she'll do the concert on Saturday night. She has 3 rehearsals with us during the week as well. Chuck, our interim director, has done a couple of rehearsals to prepare the orchestra for her, and they've kept in good touch. But she's got, you know, if you can go on her website, which is carolyn-watson.com, carolyn-carolyn, and she's done quite well. She was on the staff of Interlochen for a few years and still goes back every summer to conduct them. Last weekend, she conducted the Austin, Texas Symphony. And so you go and look at her schedule, and she's not just at the University of Kansas. She's ding, ding, ding. She's going around and doing these other things. So we asked her about that. You know, are you able to have a position like this while you still have the university? And she said yes, that the university encourages that. So that's why she likes being there, because they do encourage for her to go out, and because they feel like that brings some cachet to them
exactly.
as well when she goes out and guest conducts.
And she is a candidate also for your
She
position.
Is a candidate. She's our 4th music director candidate. And the way we are handling this is not only does the board critique, not only do the musicians critique, but our audience critiques. We want this to be a full bore situation. So anyone that comes into the concert on next Saturday night will get a survey sheet. And they are welcome to fill it out and return it at the end of the concert. They can mail it in. They can send it to me PDF by email, however they want to do it. But we're very interested in what the audience has to say.
Oh, sure.
Because when you, as you all know,
yes.
when you have rehearsals, there's a certain, you know, when you're a musician in the orchestra responding to a conductor, that's one situation. But then when you have the conductor who knows how to respond to an audience as well, that's a completely different situation.
Right.
And that's what we're looking for, is someone who has that 360 sort of approach, who can speak well about the music, but likes being in social situations, doesn't mind raising money, but yet again is musically proficient with the orchestra and challenges them.
Yeah, it's part of that whole package that you need. You know, it's more than just leading the music.
It is true.
It's,
and you know,
so much.
That's the way it used to be, the autocratic conductor.
Right.
Don't bother me, I just want to do my music. That's not, and you can't do that anymore.
Well, and you know, and symphony orchestras, like a lot of the arts, but especially symphonies, have suffered a lot because you see a lot of the supporters aging out, and the people that used to come as corporate donors that were in these positions haven't been raised with symphony music.
That's right.
And so now that they're running up in the corporate structure, that's not part of their normal thing. And there's still some, but it's like, oh, I don't know, let's go do something else.
You have to create a memory. Have to create an experience that they do want to repeat.
That's right.
And when you feel part of this family, then yes, you want to support it.
And that's one of the things that all four of them, the three that we had last year, were really impressed with the educational systems around here. I mean, we have orchestras in high schools around here, and not just orchestras, fine playing orchestras. I mean, Valparaiso High School has a wonderful facility over there. It's wonderful. LaPorte has a great facility, and they just built a brand new auditorium. So it's nice to see administrators who get it, you know, who know that the music is part of the well-rounded education. I don't have to tell you two, how many articles do you have to read about when you have knowledge in the arts, you have a higher GPA, you have a better social ability. It's all right there. And yet they still want to cut arts in schools.
I know.
And,
Did you see an article out of the UK just came out saying doctors are going to start prescribing the arts? And it's just like, why do you need to prescribe them?
And you know,
them?
Esther, on top of that, there's a great article not too long ago that a lot of medical schools are pursuing music school graduates. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably, doing it with theater and artists as well, because it's the way their brain works. They need the focus to be in medical school, and artists know how to focus.
Yeah, they do.
They know how to focus.
When you think about it, reading music is a language. So you're
it's
learning
the international
a new language. And
really.
So you're learning another language. You are learning so many. I can't remember the graphic I saw that showed all the different skills. You know, you learn timing skills. You learn things that all are important to other things. And I know, like with my theater program, I knew a lot of my students would never go into theater. But when they came out, they would be able to do things that they didn't do. And one story I love to tell real quick, and I want to take away your time.
No.
As my wife did a program with younger kids, and then she did the middle school and I did the high school program. And we had this one kid that was so shy. So her mother enrolled me to get him out of the shell. Anyway, he worked his way up through our program and got leads when he got in high school. He's now a major broadcaster. He's been in three different stations in Denver. He does weekend anchor in Denver. I mean,
that never would have happened.
And she says that to us. I said, you know, the talent was there. You just needed to let it emerge. And
that's right.
But I think it's important. I mean, you know, that is a performance thing too, but a lot of kids, they do other types of presentations that are out there. You know, I have one who's a life coach, and you know, things like.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, that type of thing. The arts are so important to blossom, even if you do nothing in the arts. You know, I have doctors out there that are.
Well, and we need people in the audience. Let's face it.
Right, exactly.
Not everybody's going to be a performer.
Yeah, be a doctor and be a donor.
But they can appreciate it.
Sure.
You know, they can appreciate it and know and respect the art form. That's what we need. And that's what's been nice about this whole process, is we've gotten really nice feedback from the candidates so far that are impressed with the educational system around here, that it looks like they respect.
Have you
the
gotten
arts.
Feedback from the audience on these, like the forms?
Oh, you
that
wouldn't
they,
believe
they
the feedback
out?
We get. Yeah, hundreds.
Okay,
hundreds
so they're engaged.
Of surveys. Yes, they are engaged. Hundreds of surveys each time. In fact, I was thinking I'm going to break the copier here trying to print all these surveys for the next concert, because people are really into it.
That's
they
excellent.
Really are. And we've added more people as it's gone on, because people have heard, oh, I get a say in this. I'm kind of interested. What's going on with this music director search? So it's kind of building momentum.
Well, then, you know, that gives them, they buy into the orchestra that
they
way
do.
Too. They feel that way. Just out of curiosity, a subscription for your three concert season, is there a subscription price?
There is. It's on the website. Our website is LCSO for LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra.net.
And we have a link on our webpage.
Super,
like
thank you.
Like if you go to our website and click on your picture, they'll go to your website and we'll talk about your stuff.
But they don't need to just be subscribed. subscription, they can buy a single ticket, right?
Absolutely, that's right. We have a subscription offer, and we have, of course, a single ticket offer, and you can get both of those on the website. But with the Civic Auditorium, its auditorium is not really the right word. It's a small arena is what it is. And so we have tables on the floor. And so there's a table price. It's $80 for three concerts or 65 senior citizen, which is 60 and over. And I did that on purpose because I'm 61 and I want to take advantage of that.
Oh, there we go.
No more 65, 60. And then we have what we call the balcony or the general admission seats in the U, which are 70 and 55. So you can do that. Single tickets are $20 for adults and $18 for seniors, and students get in for free.
Oh, my gosh.
Students get in for free. And so, you know, if you're young, we know, but if you're, you know, a little taller, but of course, everybody has a student ID now, so that's it's easy to be able to do that. So that's one of the things I try to encourage is I visit a lot of the schools and say, you're in orchestra here. Come hear us. You don't have to pay. You go, just go and enjoy it and maybe see some.
Yeah, teachers should be locking into that because there's always an inspiration, especially a viola player. You need inspiration anyway. we always have jokes about viola players. You know, they can't hear you behind the second row. So, you know, and you know the difference between violin and viola.
What's that?
A viola burns longer, but it holds more beer.
I love that. I have another one for you. You know, you know what? What's the same thing with the Beatles and what do the Beatles and the viola section of the New York Philharmonic have in common?
And they do.
Neither have played together since 1969.
Poor viola players.
I mean, you can go on for days, right?
I know. Well, and I always point out, I says, well, how many concertos have been written for violin and orchestra? How many? Oh, almost thousands. How many for viola and orchestra? Five.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, I used to tease viola players all the time about that and everything. Of course, I always used to tease like the people that either played harp or string bass. I says, you know, it's like having an elderly parent. You can't get them in the car. They get them out, and they're out of tune right away.
You're talking about dedication. That's dedication.
I know.
I was at Chesterton High School right before I came here, actually, and they have a wonderful orchestra program as well. And I saw these four high school students, and three of them were young ladies, and they're hauling those basses right in that room. I'm thinking, good for you. I think that's great.
Yeah. Are there days you wish you played piccolo and you just get that sucker in the... Besides, you never have to tune a piccolo because it's always out of tune.
Oh, my.
Well, if you've ever been in band, you know that you tune to... If there's a piccolo playing, you tune to the piccolo, whichever it is. You know, it's like, okay, piccolo. Okay, again. It's very, very true. Or oboe, the same thing. The oboe's never quite right in tune. Okay, enough of orchestra.
Right, I know. So are any of the board members musicians?
Let me think here. Yes. Actually, we have a board member, Kathy Burnell, who plays in the orchestra. But she's an attorney. But she plays in the orchestra. I want to think there's some of them that are not professional.
Right.
You know, like Kathy is. But they all have a love of music. We have 21 board members, and they have a love of it. And I have to say that that's been one of the joys of coming back this second time, is that we really do have a dedicated board, and they
makes
work
a big
hard
difference.
And they're a pleasure to work with. I never have anyone say no to me. It's just been super financially as well as being there at the concerts and volunteering.
That's fantastic. Yeah, the board support is so important for arts organizations, and And you know, LaPorte County is far enough away from the rest of Lake County because, you know, you have the Northwest Indiana Symphony, which is a big shadow there.
Right.
And so,
then you have South Bend, for us, which is the next county
between,
over.
Sure. So you're sort of in between, but that all actually probably puts you in a good place. You can pull – well, you can't pull anything from the Northwest Indiana Symphony because those are all union musicians at this point. Though they were a community orchestra at one time.
South Bend's union. But just because we're union, they can still play for us.
Yeah.
It's just that and so I think we have gotten some people from NYSO, but mostly from South Bend is where we get them from. But we have 25 or 30 of us are from LaPorte County, you know, so there's a nice good core group of musicians that live, write, and work in Michigan City or LaPorte or other parts of LaPorte County.
So we have some other things to talk about, like Who's Your Star? Oh. And then I want to get to your music time. We're running out of time here again.
I know. But I love Who's Your Star.
Yeah, but let's talk.
Oh, thank you.
Well, now, that's a fundraising event
is.
That you have.
You know, Who's Your Star started 15 years ago, and it was started by one of our former board members. Her name is Cheryl Edwards, a lovely person who was
so kind of
enamored with American Idol. And so she thought that would be a great fundraiser, you know, to have for us, with the proviso that it probably would only last about 5 years. Because right. We thought there's probably a limited number of people that we'll be able to, you know, to draw from. 15 years later, here we are.
Bigger
and,
than
and
ever.
Every year we do it and we think, okay, well, wonder what it's going to be like next year. Because we have auditions in March, a couple of days of the weekend in March. And we have between 80 and 90 people that audition for Who's Your Star. And there's some really good talent and people that I've never
phenomenal
heard before.
Talent.
Never heard before.
You know, we'll talk a little bit more about Who's Your Star here on Art on the Air with Tim King. By the way, those audition dates are March 21st, 22nd, 2020. So we want to get you out if you're interested in doing that. So you're listening to 103.1 FM. So anyway, so Who's Your Star? Who's eligible to audition?
We have two categories. We have one that's 17 and under, and I think our youngest finalist was 10 years old. And she won 1 year, actually.
And this is a vocal competition.
This is purely a vocal competition.
Yes.
So 17 and under, and then 18 and over.
Okay.
And so we had a contestant this year that was 63, and he had a beautiful voice. So they come and audition, and we have a slate of judges that judge the auditions, and then we choose five people from each category with an alternate. It turns out we needed the alternates this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Because something happened with the school schedule, or somebody was in a wedding, or I don't know, something happened, but we had to use the alternates. And they turned out to be really good. They turned out just fine. So then we work with these 10 people starting in April, and we help them select a song. They don't necessarily do the song they auditioned with.
Right.
So we help them select a song. There's two or three or four of us that work with them and hear them and make sure we find something that's good in their range and their voice. And we work with them over the summer. And then we've been very fortunate the last couple of years that Alistair Willis, who is the music director of the South Bend Symphony, has come in that weekend, and he works with them and he conducts the orchestra. Now, there's this next year, there's going to be a $1,000 prize for both the youth and the adult.
Wow.
With a $500 second prize. So, you know, that's pretty decent.
That's pretty decent,
but
sure.
But really the big deal of this is being able to sing with a symphony.
That's
the big deal.
No kidding.
I tell people, singing with an orchestra is the only legal high I know of. It's the only legal high I know of. There's, if you have not prepared, it's the most terrifying thing in the world, too.
Oh, sure.
But it's just like being on stage and forgetting your lines or something. But if you know your stuff and you sing in front of an orchestra, I just can't explain to you how wonderful it is. So that's really the big deal for all these people, because they've never had this experience.
Well, here they're on the big screen.
And they're on the big screen, right.
Like, so amazing.
And by the time we get them there, I think we've prepped them enough that they're really okay by the time they get on stage and do their thing.
Yeah, they look totally in the moment.
They do,
yeah.
And especially the youth.
Yeah.
That's the part. We've got 15-year-olds. We had a 10-year-old. But this year they were more like 15, 16, 17. And they looked just as comfortable as they could be. I could hardly tie my shoes when I was that age. You know, I mean, I'm really impressed with that. I really am. So
I know. I watched James Neary win with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
It was like so.
That was stunning, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
It was stunning.
When is the actual performance?
It's
September?
It is going to be September the 12th.
It's
usually the second Saturday in September.
Got it.
And that's at the Civic Auditorium at 7 o'clock.
Is there a fee to come in and see it?
Yes. Okay. There's tables on the floor. Of course, it's a fundraiser.
Right, it's a fundraiser.
So the tables are $750 for 10. But then to sit in the balcony, it's $15 and
right.
$5 for kids 12 and under. So it's very, very affordable if you want to sit in the balcony. But
those tables fill up fast, too, if you don't get those tickets right away.
It's true.
They're gone.
We sell about 50 tables, which totally fills the floor. So it's a nice fundraiser.
And someone interested in auditioning, you have the information at the your website? Or
actually, we have a different website.
Okay.
It's just whosyourstar.com.
Okay.
Very simple. And I think that we don't have the application up yet.
Okay.
I don't think that will come up until the new year. But we do have information about the dates and where it will be For March 21.
And if someone's thinking about it, what prep do they need to have? They need to have a song, a headshot of some kind?
Yes, they need to have a headshot, a song ready. We have a piano, but we do not provide an accompanist. So that's one thing we really need to get. So a lot of people want to do live accompaniment because, you know, a lot of them are bringing the MP3s and they're just,
right.
We're just
hooking. And you permit that.
Well, yeah, we permit that and we hook it into the system and yes, we can do that. That's not a problem.
So has anybody ever done originals or is it?
You know, Esther, I'm trying to think. I think somebody did at one point, not since I've been here, but I think Cheryl did tell me that someone had an original composition that they did do. But that's I think it's just on maybe one or two.
Wow.
I think.
Well, quickly back to the orchestra. You have another thing on November 16th, the Euchre event.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fundraiser.
That's part of our a la carte series. I did this in, well, we had it in Louisville with the Louisville Orchestra for many, many years. And it's just a series of parties is what it is. But what keeps it, Louisville's been doing this for 32 years. And as you all know, fundraisers tend to have a shelf life.
Right.
You know, you do the fundraiser in the same building on the same night of the, you know, different year. 5 or 6 years, maybe 10. But what makes these unique is that the parties are always different. And they're always in different people's homes, and they're different themes. This year we had a Gershwin night, which was very popular. We had a barbecue at a beautiful farm outside of LaPorte. We had an evening of cocktails and karaoke, which was a hoot. It was so much fun. And then we're ending this with a Euchre night. And we still have 4 tickets for that one available, which you can also get on the website. But they tend to be anywhere from 6 to 8 parties that we do from May to November. Try to space them out. They're 3 or 4 weeks apart. We have some people that will come to 1 or 2 parties, and we have some people that come to 4 and 5.
I know. They look like a great time.
They are. It's a great time. It really is. I had a board chair that told me one time, she said, Tim, people will pay a lot of money just to party.
Oh, yeah.
She said, they will pay tons of money just to party. And I told her, I said, but I want to get them in the seats at the orchestra. She said, well, you can work on that. That's fine. But this is how we can get them to support the orchestra, even if they don't like orchestral music. They'll still support the orchestra this way.
And that's important to have that.
Right.
So.
And I know we're not going to grab everybody, but these parties will grab everybody.
Sure. Now, let's move on. Just we have a little bit of time left to talk about Tim King, the vocalist.
Well, Tim King is in the autumn of his career. Let's put it that way right now.
Well, it's a very colorful time to be, though.
Yes. In school, I enjoyed singing very, very much, was in all the choirs, never really thought myself as a soloist or anything, until I actually got involved with the Louisville Orchestra as a staff member. And the pops conductor, the assistant conductor, his name is Bob Bernhardt, and Bob is now the principal pops conductor of the Grand Rapids Symphony.
Okay.
But he also has Louisville. He still has Louisville. Celebrate his 40th year next year, believe
or
not. Talk about a reign, a term. And he also has Chattanooga. So he has these 3 pops orchestras, and he is in demand as a pops conductor all across the country now. But he started out in Louisville back in the 80s. And he heard me sing for an event, something maybe at the college, and he said, you need to sing with the orchestra. And I said, oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do that. He said, no, I want you to do this. Let's work on this together. And that's just sort of how it blossomed. I would sing a concert with the orchestra, and then somebody would hear me, and then they'd say, well, come sing with us. And I've had about 5 or 6 conductors that have used me probably 3 or 4 times, 5 times. Bob's used me a lot, but I've had several that have used and that's where it's kind of all mushroomed a little bit, is that I would sing for them. They'd say, oh, we'd like to have you back. And so then you'd add another conductor to your list. And so I have to tell you that my 50s were my most productive time of singing. It was amazing. I just had such a great time. But because I held down a full-time job all the time, and that's what I liked about singing orchestras, because when you're in theater,
sure,
or you have to rehearse, and you've got to rehearse for a certain amount of time, and you have to give up so many. With an orchestra, when you solo with an orchestra, you're expected to know your music in advance. You come to a rehearsal on Thursday night. I'm just going to give you a scenario.
Right, sure.
A rehearsal on Thursday night, performance on Friday, Saturday night, and bing, bam, boom, you're done.
Yeah. I
mean, and that's what worked for me.
Right.
Because I didn't have to give a lot of time in a rehearsal situation. And so that's what concert, plus I can't act. So that, I mean, I really can't act. So
I wouldn't be convinced of that, just watching
dance.
Your
music. I know,
stand there and sing, though.
I
Well, singing is acting to a certain degree,
I guess
it is
for
performing. Right. And you did about, what, 160 some? Or?
I'm up to 170 now.
Oh, wow.
I'm from Buffalo, New York to Santa Barbara, California.
And you still do this occasionally?
I do, not as much. I just have an orchestra in Kentucky that I'm singing with this Christmas. But just, and I think what happens is I get involved in this job. And I think, oh, I don't have enough time to rehearse with that or something. But right. I need to do that.
Sure.
I need to keep that up because I need to rehearse because I'm the kind of lazy personality that if I don't have something to work toward, I'm not going to practice.
Right.
So I need to practice.
And you need to get your instrument in tune.
You do.
People don't
and
think
I'm,
about
and
that
And I'm at
vocalist.
An age where a lot of people aren't doing it anymore.
Right.
You know, they've hung it up. And so I have three friends that I've told, you need to tell me when it's time. Bring the hook out and take me off stage. And they say, Tim, it's not time. So as
Excellent.
I tell people, I get up every morning and go, okay, it's still there. So that's.
And so if they want to get a hold of Tim King, it's at timkingsings.com.
Yeah. timkingsings.com.
timkingsings.com. Right. And again, if you go to our website, breck.com/AOTA, click on Tim's picture, it will take you there also.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Any final moments here? Anything
you'd
like to wrap up?
Well, first of all, I want to thank both of you for having me on.
This has been so much fun.
Oh,
you guys are great.
Thank you.
I'm a new fan, just so you know. And I want people to understand that we have a really wonderful ensemble in our community, in our area. And they need, if they haven't heard the orchestra, they need to hear the orchestra because they I tell everyone, they play so far above their pay grade. They sound like a professional orchestra. They're a semi-professional orchestra, but I think they sound just professional to me, and I'm very, very proud of them. And I'm honored to be associated.
And the next concert is?
It's Saturday, November the 9th, Civic Auditorium, 7:30. That's Central Time. And you can buy the tickets on the website, lcso.net.
Yeah, so there you go. And you go out and support
the
LaPorte Symphony.
And get to see Carolyn. Was it Carolyn Watson?
Carolyn Watson. Yeah. I think you'll be very impressed.
Very good. Well, we appreciate you being on the show, Tim.
It's been excellent.
It's so great. You've been listening to Art on the Air. I'd like to, again, thank Tim from the LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra and timkingsings.com. You know, Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Hey, your hosts today are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. We always like to thank Greg Kovach. He's WVLP's station manager.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
You know, our underwriters for the show, again, are Valparaiso News for these Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Art on the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant and the National Endowments for the Art. Once again, if you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, or whatever, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. So you can do that. We're also heard on Red Hawk Radio, WIUN, IU Northwest online closed circuit station. And again, if you'd like to support Art on the Air, it's at wvlp.org/support. We really would love to have you to support our show in our ongoing thing to grow. And if you haven't been our Facebook friend, look us up on Art on the Air, and you become a Facebook friend. We put more information on there, information about our guests, what's coming up, and everything like that. So next week, we have Phil Potemka from Theater at the Center. I met Phil when he was a young, budding little reporter out there, and we have stories that we always swap, but he's going to come in and talk about his brand-new fourth edition of his book, a farm-to-table book that he's done. So Phil Potemka will be our guest next week here on Art on the Air. So see you right here next week, 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart.